Father in heaven, Lord, thank you, Lord, for your words, and thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to read them and to study them, Lord. What a great thing you've done for us. You not only give them to us, but you go through them with us as we go through them, and you help us to understand them. And we pray now, Lord, that you would do that for us this morning, and we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Okay. All right, we left off last week. We had some questions, and let me see where we are here. Matthew chapter 13. We'll start off in verse 34. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went over into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. Okay. Now, as we've been going through a bunch of parables in Matthew chapter 13, and I got to ask, because does everybody understand about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God? How that they're different? How the kingdom of heaven is a physical kingdom. It's an earthly kingdom. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. It's within you. Okay, we all know that. Now, it's important to understand that the kingdom of heaven is dealing with an earthly physical kingdom. And that is a kingdom that is on the earth. Okay, it's on this earth. Now, I'm going to try and draw a timeline, and I'm going to try and draw it with words so that maybe we can visualize here when the kingdom of heaven started, and yes, and when it's going to end. Okay, if you could just hold on to the questions. I mean, if you want to go ahead and ask. Yes. That's right.
There are kingdoms on earth that are the Gentile kingdom. Mm-hmm. The devil has a kingdom also, according to this.
Mm-hmm.
They blasphemed against the Holy Spirit, and they accused him of that. He said the devil has a kingdom. We have earthly kingdoms of the Gentile nations.
Right.
But the kingdom of heaven was at hand.
Right. That's present tense. Is at hand. Right now.
It could come, or it may not. That's the way I see it. But that's nice to know.
Okay. So I understand that, and we're gonna cover that. So when Jesus says that, he says it is at hand. It's right now. It's present tense. Okay. Well, if I'm wrong, then you know pray about what I might have to say here, and then if I'm wrong, the Lord will take it up. But as I studied through the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, it's a physical kingdom, and it started out with Adam. Okay, and over time. Over periods of time, that kingdom have changed hands. Okay, now this is the way I understand it. So it's a physical earthly kingdom here on this earth. Okay, it's not the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, right? But the kingdom of heaven is. Kingdom of heaven is. It's physical. Okay, so. I'm going to try and draw a timeline so that we can visualize this, when it started and when it'll end. Picture, if you would, God created the heaven and the earth. Back in Genesis, we'll draw a little dot right there. He created the heaven and earth. And just draw that dot on a piece of paper and then draw it to the right. Okay? But right before you draw it to the right, put in there, God put Lucifer in charge. And he is on the earth at the time. And he's over angels on this earth. Okay? And he rises up against God, and God has to cast him down, and now the earth is without form and void. And darkness is upon the face of the deep. Okay? So the devil's in control of this kingdom here. This kingdom of heaven. It's a physical kingdom. And as you're going to the right, the devil falls. Okay? Keep drawing that line, put a little sideline off there. The devil falls. He lifts himself up against God, and he falls. And so after this fall, continue drawing this line straight across the page, about an inch. Go about an inch. And it's on an imaginary piece of paper now in your mind, okay? Now put another line coming off there where God creates man. He creates Adam, okay? And he puts Adam on this earth, and he gives Adam dominion, okay, over the fowl of the air. He gives him over the lands, over the animals of the earth, okay? He gives him dominion. That he's a king. He's in control. He's ruling. Okay? And as you keep going, Adam falls. The devil does not want man being in charge of anything. He wants to be in charge. And the only way that he can get to be in charge again is if he can get Adam to sin. And so he does, and he does that through Eve. He knows that Adam is a honorable man, and he's not going to let the devil take his wife. So Adam is a type of Christ. And he gives himself, he gives himself as a type of ransom, okay? And he's not going to let that devil take his wife. So he goes ahead and he goes along with it. He should have went to God, but he didn't. And he falls. Now Lucifer is in control again. Okay? And so we have to kind of understand that here. As we keep going down, here up shows Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And a nation is born. And God makes certain promises to that nation. Okay? And those promises are contained in the land, and there's certain peace promises that are given to them if they'll obey certain things. Okay? And so they don't obey it. The devil is back in control. And it goes on and on with the nation of Israel. And the nation of Israel has lost their kingdom here. They've lost it. But God has made that nation promises, okay? And those promises will be fulfilled. And Jesus is going to fulfill those promises with that nation. And it's a kingdom of heaven scenario. And they were promised these things here on this earth if they would have abided, if they would have obeyed God. And I thought we went through these scriptures a while back when we started going through this. But and we can, again, if we don't understand it still, but I understand what you guys are saying, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, but keep drawing that timeline. Then you have up shows the Mosaic Covenant. And the Jews don't keep their promises to God. They made a covenant with God, the Jews don't keep it. And so God sends enemies into the land to take over Israel and to put them in bondage. And Israel's not in control. They're supposed to be the head of the nations. But they're right now the tail. Okay? They're supposed to be in charge. They're supposed to be over every other nation. But they're not. Because they didn't obey God. And when Jesus Christ comes back and gets rid of the devil and takes the kingdom, what's going to happen? Israel's going to be the head. And they're going to fall in line with God. Okay? And so we got to try to understand that this kingdom of heaven is a physical earthly kingdom. It's on this earth. The only thing that's changing with this kingdom of heaven is who is in control of it. Throughout time, on this timeline, the only thing that's changing here on this kingdom of heaven, this earthly kingdom, is who is in control. Okay? So the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Right now, when Jesus is on the earth. Okay? It's at hand. Present. It's a present tense statement. When Jesus says it, it's present tense. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Not will be at hand. It is at hand. Okay, so That's what I'm trying to get at here. Now, so right now they're temporary. They're the tail. God has made promises to them. They're going to be the head. But there's some things that have to happen before that happens. They got to get their heart right. He comes on earth. Hey, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Right? And His righteousness. And all these things here on this earth. That's what He's talking about. Will be added unto you. But if you can't get your heart right, if you don't get your heart right, then it's just going to keep prolonging. And so the tribulation comes into effect. Why? So that the Jew will get their heart right. And they will at the end of the tribulation. Okay? So, let's go with me, if you would, to Hebrews. Hebrews 9. Now, look at what the statement is here. The Bible says, "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." So, the way I understand it, folks, is that the moment Adam died, the moment he sinned, that was the beginning of the end of the world. Okay? The curse is on the world, the curse is on man. That's the where Jesus comes and he's in the end of the world. Okay, we're going to see another statement here as we keep going through this terrorist parable. But just keep drawing that imaginary timeline until you get to about the end of the paper. And put a dot there and a note on that dot off to the side. The end of the world. At that dot. The end of the world. Okay? And between that dot and the time that Jesus Christ shows up, what you have the tribulation and reign of Christ. Okay? The tribulation and reign of Christ. This is all in the kingdom of heaven timeline. Okay? And like I said before, the only thing that's changing hands here is rulership. Yes? Well, Jesus shows up. He shows up and he's in the end of the world. Okay? So, between Adam and that dot, you have this time period. I'm going to call it the end of the world. It's the time period of the end of the world, but there's a dot that is the end of the world, okay? And we're going to get to that here in a couple seconds, because it's important to understand the wording here. Jesus shows up, he appeared to put away sins. When did he do that? In the end of the world. He's in there. Okay? Now, so then it's changed hands a few times between during that creation period, between the creation and the destruction. Okay? We all know that the world is going to be destroyed. The earth is going to be destroyed, melted. Okay? So between the creation and destruction, the kingdom of heaven has changed hands a few times. Okay? And more than we're going through here. There's a lot more than that. But I don't have time to go through all of these people and when it changed hands. So, but it's changed hands, and we've got this dot there, the end of the world. Now, it's important, folks, to understand that there are going to be certain things in these parables that are going to apply throughout the kingdom of heaven. And before we apply them, we have to understand who the kingdom of heaven was promised to. And that is the Jews, the nation of Israel. Okay? They're supposed to be ruling in that kingdom. They're supposed to be over all the nations. And that's how it's going to be set up. Jesus Christ is going to be the king, but then that nation is going to rule over all the nations. And they're supposed to be the head. And that's how it was prophesied. And so we have to believe that that's going to come to pass. Now, in the parable of the tares, what you have is the children of the kingdom. Who are the children of the kingdom? It's the Jews. They're the children of the kingdom. Okay? It's not born-again believers. We have to get that out of our mind. Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven in this parable. There is no tares in the kingdom of God. Otherwise, you have Christians getting cast out and getting thrown into hell. And you can't have that. That's why it's not mentioned as part of this, as part of the parables. The kingdom of God is not mentioned in the kingdom of the, or the parable of the tares. It's the kingdom of heaven. And so, what you have here then is you have the kingdom of the children of the kingdom, which is the Jews. And since God, He born that nation and planted them, the enemy, the devil, has been doing some planning of his own. Okay? And there has been good seed planted, which you have the prophets, and all those that have trusted Jesus and trusted God in the Old Testament and believe what He said. And up until the church age. Now, during this time, what did Jesus say to the Jewish leaders? What did He say to them? He said, "Ye are of your father, the devil." To Jewish people. So, here you have tares in Matthew. Okay? The field is the world, or we'll go to verse 37. He answered and said unto them, "He that sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one." Jesus says to Jewish people, "Ye are of your father the devil." Okay? If Jewish leaders have a father who is the devil, then they are his children. If they have, if he's saying that you're of your father, Jesus tell him, "You've got a father, and he is the devil." Then those are the devil's children. Okay? They're Jewish people. And a tare is a counterfeit. They could be Jews. They look like Jews. They were born a Jew. They act like Jews. They have the same Jewish religion with their own little twist. But they don't believe God. They don't believe what He said. And so Jesus tells them, "You have your father, the devil. And the lust of your father he will do." He was a murderer from the beginning. Okay? And those Jewish leaders moved those people and they murdered Jesus Christ. Okay? So we have to kind of understand. So I'm trying to explain this in a way where we can get it here. Because we have to understand that there's certain things in this kingdom of heaven. And when Jesus is talking, we have to consider these things. Let me move down a little bit. And it's okay, so we can apply the children of the kingdom to those Jews that believe what God said and trusted Him. And so what do we do with the church age here? Okay? Those that trust in Christ, church age is right in the middle of this kingdom of heaven thing. Okay? So, those that trust in Jesus Christ, we're not applying tares here, this parable of the tares to the kingdom of God. I just wanted to let everybody know that. But we have to deal with the church age here. Okay? So, those who trust in Jesus Christ, they're neither Jew nor Gentile. Those that don't trust in Jesus Christ during this church age, they're still in the kingdom of heaven. Right? And when Jesus takes rulership, you see what I'm saying? You see how this thing is going? They're still in the kingdom of heaven. And they're still going to be considered Jews and Gentiles. And the Jews are the children of the kingdom. So those that don't trust in Jesus Christ will go into the tribulation and maybe they'll get into the millennium. I don't know who they're going to be. There's going to be some Jews that go through and get into the millennium. There's going to be some that don't. Okay? There's going to be some Gentiles that get into the millennium, nations. There's going to be some that don't. We know that by the goats and the sheep. That's the judgment of the nations. Okay? And so we're dealing with this church age throughout the kingdom of heaven here. Anybody have any questions so far? Am I making a mess of this? Okay. Well, just hold on to them because they might get answered. Okay. Let me see where else we're at here. So you're going to be able to apply certain things that Jesus says in these parables of the kingdom of heaven to different time periods of that kingdom. Okay? And that's where we have to make these divisions. Because we can apply the terrors in Jesus' day, the Old Testament, we can apply those terrors in the tribulation, we can apply those terrors when Jesus is reigning. Okay? There's going to be other things that we're not going to be able to apply to where Jesus was on earth. And there's going to be things that we're not going to be able to apply to the tribulation. And then there's going to be only things that we apply to the thousand-year reign. Thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ. I got to get out of saying that because he's reigning for more than 1,000 years. Thousand-year reign of Christ without the devil influence. Let's put it that way. Okay? So, that's where the divisions have to come in. And we have to go and say, okay, how can I apply the terrors to when Jesus was on earth? Right? He's telling the Jewish people, there's people among you that are the children of the devil. And they're Jewish leaders. They look like the Jewish people. They act like Jewish people. They have the same religion. But they're counterfeits. Because they don't trust in what Jesus says. They don't trust in what God says. Okay? And so, we'll keep reading down in Matthew here. So I'm trying to apply these things so we can understand how we can apply them here, here, and here. How we can apply them in the church age. Can't apply the terrors in the church age. If you got terrors in the kingdom of God, folks, we got problems. We have eternal security issues. So you can't apply the terrors there. All right. So my advice, this is just my advice, when people are up here or, you know, when we're trying to learn the Bible, we're trying to learn things, is rejoice about what truth you understand. And if you don't agree with something, hey, we're never going to agree with everybody on everything, okay? But if you have questions, write it down and we'll try to get to them. I'm going to try to get done at 10 till. We'll try to, you know, go through some of these questions. And maybe you'll understand. Maybe we'll get the questions answered before we even get to the end. We won't have to ask it. We can all just go and drink some water and fellowship with everybody. So I'll try to get done at 10:50 here. I got 10 minutes. Let's go to verse 39. The enemy, the Bible says, that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. It's not in the end of the world. It is the end of the world. And that's the point where you have the angels gathering up these terrors. And if you look back here in the terror parable, they're binding people. Okay? They're binding people. Look, if you would, at verse 30. The Bible says, Matthew 13:30, let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them. Bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Okay? So, we'll go back to verse 39. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. It's that little dot we drew on a piece of paper. Okay? So go with me, if you would, to Matthew 22. We're going to check into this a little bit more. When people are bound, and if you guys know any other scriptures where people are bound, please let me know because I've looked for them. And maybe I missed them. But when people get bound, they get cast into a place. All right. Here in Matthew 13, it says they're going to be burned in fire. Matthew 22:13 says, "Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called and few chosen." Okay? There is a point in time when somebody is cast out into outer darkness. That's not hell. That's not hell. Luke 16:24. Do we all remember the rich man and Lazarus? Outer darkness. You're not seeing anything, folks. You're not going to be able to see anything when there's outer darkness. Okay. Hell. The rich man opened up his eyes, being in torment, and he saw Abraham afar off. Okay. So we have to see these bind. We were looking at this word bind. There's a point in time when somebody is bound and he's cast into the fire. And that fire will be burning black. Outer darkness. There's no your light there. Okay? And so that's the end of the world. That's at the end of the world. And that's when the angels, and we're going to see this as we go through these other parables. We'll see it in the parable of the dragnet. But that's this outer darkness. And there's fire out there. And these people are bound and cast out there. Okay, let's go, if you would, to Matthew 13:30. "Let both grow together until the harvest." We know that's the end of the world. "And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." Okay? So these people are being burned. And in verse 42, it says, let's see. Okay, let's go to verse 40. "And therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels," verse 41, "and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and which do iniquity." Okay, he's gathering them out of his kingdom. He's all in ownership of that kingdom. So we know this to be the 1,000 years where he's reigning on earth without the devil. Then he's still reigning, and he's gathering them out of his kingdom, the one he is in control of. Okay? That when people are on earth and Jesus Christ is reigning, people are going to be sinning. It's not heavenly bliss here. People are still sinning. They're still being killed. They're still being thrown into a lake, a physical lake of fire. But in the end of this world, he's going to gather them up with his angels, and out of his kingdom, the one he is in control over. Okay, so when Jesus is on earth ruling and reigning, people are still going to be sinning just like they are today, even without the devil here. And nobody's going to have that excuse, "The devil made me do it." Okay, so gather them which do iniquity, and shall cast them in a furnace of fire. Okay? We all think of a furnace being four sides. I'm not going to say anything on that. But I'm just showing you the verses. People are being bound and they're cast in outer darkness. They're being burned out there in outer darkness. All right? If you look at what the sea of glass is, it's a sea of glass mingled with fire. There's a side there. Sea of glass mingled with fire. These people aren't going to come out of here. God's coming out of the top. He's coming out with his holy city. And so what's going to be left above there, the same veil we can't see through to see God, is going to be the same veil we're not going to be able to see through to see people being burned. And that's the same veil that those people up there in heaven are not going to be able to see through and see any light from God. Outer darkness. Fire. Furnace. It's a place where people are being burned. Okay? So I'm just trying to... That's where we're at here. The end of this world. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun. Verse 43. In the kingdom of their Father. All right? Those Jews that get through this, the people that get through this, they have a Father. And it's God. The Bible says, folks, that all our righteousness is filthy rags. So the only reason why people are righteous is because they trusted in the one that is righteous. And then God imparted His righteousness unto them. And they can shine. They can shine. They got the light of Jesus Christ in them. These people recognize Jesus as their Messiah. Jewish people in the tribulation. These are going to be Jewish people coming forth in the millennium. There's going to be Jews there that have got the new heart and the new spirit within them. But what about their children? They're still going to have to trust in Jesus Christ there, folks. They're still going to have to trust in what He's saying. They're still going to have faith. Faith doesn't just go away in the millennium. Because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. If they don't want to listen to what Jesus has to say, they don't get through. They get burned when the angels gather them. All right, verse 44. I'm trying, folks, to explain how we can divide this up and put it in different time periods and how we can apply this to the kingdom of heaven, all right? What we can't apply to the kingdom of God. Verse 44, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy, therefore, thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Okay, so what we know so far is that we're talking about an earthly kingdom, a physical kingdom here, and we know that the field is the world, verse 38. And the man is the son of man, verse 24. But what is this treasure and when did God find it? All right, that's the question we have to ask. What is the treasure he's talking about here? And when did he find it? Go with me, if you would, to Psalm 135:4. And we're almost done. 135:4. The Bible says, "For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself and Israel for his particular treasure." Israel, for his particular treasure. And so when God wrestled with Jacob, and Jacob didn't give up till God blessed him, that's when God found his treasure. Okay? And the treasure is Israel. God the Son found Jacob, and then he hid and went and sold all that he had, which was himself. Sold it all. Jesus paid for everything with his life. Okay? Why? Not just to purchase the people, but to purchase what he made. He made the world. Right? He made the world. Back in Matthew 13, we're almost done. Matthew 13, 44. The world is the field. He purchased the world. What's contained in the world? I know we hear some people say that the world is a system. Okay, yeah, in some occasions it is. But in some occasions, the world is his creation. And the earth that's included thereof with the animals and the people. Okay, so We have to make the division there. What's he talking about here? He's selling, he's buying the world, and he's purchased it with his blood. Ephesians 1, 13, and 14. Right, I'm getting to that. That's the last one. If he purchased your body, as it says so in Ephesians 1, 13, and 14, and he purchased the world in Romans 8, 19 through 20, why? Why does he do that? Because of the treasure that he found. Romans 1, 16. What's the treasure? Israel. He came unto his own. Right? And what is his own supposed to do? Receive him. And his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And you're right. For God so loved the world. He loved his creation. He made it. He made the earth. He said it was good. He made the animals. He said it was good. He made man. Everything he said. He said he saw it was good. And so he redeemed it at the cross. But he hasn't physically redeemed it yet. But he's going to. He's going to. All right, we're going to go ahead and stop there. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for your words, and thank you for your truths that are in them, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that we would just ask the proper questions, ask you, and find out where we can make these things fit, the things that you said doctrinally, where we can make them doctrinally fit so that we can better understand what you're trying to tell us. And what you were trying to tell your people here on this earth when you were here and you were speaking. And Father, we pray now for the services this afternoon, Lord, that you would just bless those services and you would help our ears and our eyes and our hearts be attentive to your words today. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.